Well, we are tremendously blessed this day. We have a man, I'm going to call him a young man because he's my age, coming to share with us. We've had a relationship with this man, since the early 80s. And in that time, we've been connected to him. He's spoken and built up and encouraged this church many times over. But he speaks and builds up and encourages youth throughout this nation and other nations. And that's his vocation and that's his call from God. He speaks to over 500, half a million people, children, youth, mostly youth, every year. He is the founder of Life Fest and Life Promotions. And he is a friend of Living Hope Church. I want to encourage you to encourage Bob as he comes to share with us.
Good morning. It is really, really good to be here. We just got back. We were in, I flew out of Philadelphia Saturday. Yes, that was yesterday. Friday night, we saw over 150 kids receive Christ in Reading, Pennsylvania. It's just amazing. I just want you to know, I was supposed to be speaking today, but I was supposed to be speaking just a week ago. We had something canceled for this morning. And I've been doing this for 36 years. And this is the busiest month I've had in 36 years. And so we didn't need another place to speak. But when it canceled, and I don't say this often, but I felt the Holy Spirit speak to my heart and say, call Mike. You're supposed to be up at Living Hope. And I'm like, hey, I need a place to speak. But I called Mike, and before I even said something, he goes, we were just talking about you. And we just really want to partner with you if we're going into schools. And we got to get you up here to speak. And I'm like, shut up. Don't say shut up. But I said, shut up. And I'm like, hey, guess what? And so that's why we're here. Well, and then actually what happened, I got to tell you this. So I'm like, really? I said, it's open. And I had the wrong date. I had a Wednesday. I don't know calendars, right? And do you have a guy from Africa coming? From India next week, right? And so he's like, well, if it's that weekend, we can't. And it turned out to be this weekend. So it worked out. And when we're doing that, my car died. I'm on County Trunk I in, real close to my home. And my car died. And it says, check engine, battery dead. All these lights start coming up. And I'm like, I was on my way to go to a school to speak. And I was picking up some notes that I forgot. I'm like, my car's dying. I can't do this. I don't have time for a AAA. I'm like, you got to do something. He goes, let's pray right now. So I am coasting. I got in neutral. My car died. We're coasting. And he starts, hallelujah. over my, I'm not kidding you. And it started up and I made it. And I'll tell you how much faith I have in your pastor's prayer. I didn't get it checked. I got it outside today. So, but honestly, that's why we're here. So, will you turn with me in your Bibles? I feel like God had given me a message that I was supposed to speak today. But then I heard you're going through, Jonah, and we'll see how it ties in. Okay. Let's pray. Father, just be with us this morning. And we pray that you could do what only you can do. God, I want to perform. I want to be with family. I want to be home. I just want to be with your people, and I want to talk about what you're doing. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. So, Jonah chapter 2, I don't know about this, but where's the weirdest place you ever prayed? So let's start. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed. I mean, and I always thought this. I always thought, like, until this morning we were having prayer, I thought that, being swallowed by the fish was like God's judgment. No, that was God saving him. He would have drowned, right? They threw him in, he would have drowned. Now I want to tell you this. Sometimes you're in that sea and it isn't your fault. Sometimes you're running from Nineveh, but sometimes it's not. We live in a sinful world. But inside this fish, he was having a bad day. Now, sometimes that's self-inflicted, sometimes it's not. But let's go and see what he said. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, no matter where you are. He said to God, in my distress, anybody been there? In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Sometimes you wonder if God listens. Like, can he really get through the ceiling here? From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me in the depths, in the very heart of the seas, in the currents swirled around me, and all your waves and your breakers swept over me. Do you ever feel like this? I have said I have been banished from your sight. God, don't you care? Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threaten me and deep surrounding me. Seaweed has wrapped me, wrapped around my head. It was the first hippie. Sorry. I don't think that was supposed to be funny. Anyways, all right. To the root of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath bared me in forever. I'm going to talk in a minute, but I just went through one of the hardest year and three quarters of my life and came up with a little saying, devastated, but Jesus. The earth beneath bared me forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. And my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. To those who cling to the worthless idols, turn away from God's love for them. When you're hurting, you're in your bottom, we still don't want to give up. We're still going to hold on to those worthless idols that don't satisfy. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. And what I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. I can't do it on my own. That's grace. And the Lord commanded, I love this. And the Lord commanded the fish to vomit. But you know what he did? From the depths of the sea, back onto that dry ground. Back onto dry ground. From the middle of the sea, in the middle of this fish, he prayed. I actually want to start with a thank you this morning. Not just for being open to the Spirit, not just for fixing my car, but I want to thank you. For those who don't know, it was about a year and three quarters now. In December, it'll be 2 years since my brother, who was my pastor and my mentor, he started the ministry that I lead today. My brother Bill took his life. And I just want to say thank you for your prayers. I got many from people in this body. And Pastor Mike, to you for personally being there. It's been probably the most difficult 2 years of my life. And it just means a lot to know you're not alone. And so I feel like I've been in the middle of that ocean and swallowed by a fish and wanted to run from Nineveh, wanted to quit. Aren't you tired some days? I mean, just life itself, even on a good day. And people have been asking me, Bob, how are you? So I want to share, because I feel it ties into the message today, I want to share with you, I'm doing good. But I'm hurting at the same time. Does that make sense? Can you do both and? It's not either or, it's both and. But I went to the Holy Spirit and I said, right? Would you take this pain away from me? Because his name is what? The Comforter. And you know what I believe the Holy Spirit, he spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said this, the pain will not go away. What? He said, the pain will not go away. I'm like, I'm sorry, but we have a relationship. So I'm like, dude, isn't that your job? You're the comforter. Make the pain go away. But he made it so clear, and he said this: you lost your brother. That pain's not going to go away. And sometimes that pain will stay in us, right? Remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel? And then he limped for the rest of his life. That may not go away, but look what it said. Look what he said. The pain may not go away, but it doesn't have to steal the joy that surrounds you or deter you from your mission. You hear that this morning? No matter what pain you have, it may not go away. Even if the fire stays, God, I'm not going to bow. Because we all have difficulties. We all have pain. We all have grieving. We all have loss. And we don't need to compare to others. But there is so much joy around us. And God this morning wants to touch you with joy no matter what pain you're in. Now, I hate it when preachers come in and show you pictures of their family. But I'm going to do it anyways. This is my wife, Caroline. We've been married for 36 years. We have 5 kids. And right there, that's 11 grandkids. The only song we can't sing at Christmas, Silent Night. But the joy, you know what? There is joy in your life too. And pain does this. And all you can see is the bad. And you can't enjoy the beauty that's around you. The Holy Spirit wants you to know this. He will walk through that darkness with you. But there is joy that you're supposed to experience today. And he wants you to see that joy. And in the mission. So a lot of people after my brother passed, they said, Bob, I think you should take a year off. I think you should stop. I mean, you gotta, you know, and I understand good, right self-care. Okay, I understand. But you need to take care of yourself. No, I have a mission. So last year, in the year after my brother, we did 99 public schools across this country. And here we are in Saginaw, Michigan. And Friday, we were in Redding, the second poorest county in the country. Saginaw is number one right now. Because the car dealer walked out. And again, like the Gideons, this one came from U.S. Venture down in Oshkosh. You know, they are down in the valley. They're the ones who sponsor the school. And so we go into the school, and we've got to get back into Green Bay. So if there's people here in the school, just come and talk to me afterwards. We have a curriculum for the public school called Dignity Revolution. We had 75,000 kids take the pledge last year. The pledge, did you ever hear these? I pledge to be loving, I pledge to be kind, I pledge to be joyful. It's the fruits of the Spirit. But it's now evidence-based from University of Oshkosh. We taught last year. We have the teacher of the year from the whole country working with us. We trained 550 teachers from 15 states last year, all across this country. So we got to go out. But, so we're doing it in the public school, and even where we can't say Jesus. But then James, we still invite them out at night. And we're still averaging 25% of the school coming back at night. And then 50% of them receive Christ at night. That is what we're doing. So I'm not going to stop. And let me tell you, Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. Let me tell you, he's not around, so now I am. I'm sorry. I've been in ministry 36 years, but if I'm not in the Word every day, like I listen to the Word. I know this doesn't look as spiritual as getting a big King James. But this is how I listen every day. I can't do it on my own. I'm left to my own. My heart is still. I know I got a new heart. But somehow, did you ever see a plant? Like, did you ever make plants for the garden in the springtime and you do them inside and they lean towards the sun? And then you got to turn them. Otherwise, they start growing like this. It naturally goes to the sun. My heart, my flesh, I naturally go away from the sun. I need the Word. I need worship. I need church. I need life groups. I need to do it. So hear me, not boasting in Bob. Bob is this, I hate to say it, but left to myself, I'm still selfish. So hear me boast in the Lord. But through people, life, we got to start Life Fest. You know why? Because I was at There was this thing used to be called the Brown County Arena. I was there when it came down. But I was there in high school and I saw REO. And I love REO and I love concerts. It was so great. And then I listened to the message. I'm like, whoops. And so we started this little thing called Life Fest. And last year, we now have a stage. God gave us a $1 million stage. And we are now like 7,000 people more per day than Country USA. We're the largest Christian festival in the country right now. And I'm humbled to say that. But here's what I want to show you. This is at our new stage, right? And all the way back, it's just, well, you got to come. If you can't afford it, Mike will buy you a ticket. You got, Pastor Jerry and Jeannie came for the first, I was so mad at them, 20 years and they never came. They finally came and it was just amazing. But here's why I share, not to boast, but to be humble. At this dedication of the stage, 26,000 people, we said this: if you have been at every Life Fest, raise your, we had a little glow stick. If you met your boyfriend or husband or wife, you're right. We couldn't believe how many met there. So if you're single. But we had it, and then we said this, and this was this picture. How many were there for Mudfest when it rained? And the farmer charged me $3,000 extra. I'm like, why? There was so much mud on those tires, I lost some ground. $3,000. But then I said this: if you have given your heart to Jesus or resurrendered your life to Jesus, would you raise your glow stick? And that's what that picture is. Can you give a round of applause to Jesus Christ? We are called to make a difference. Okay. Here's one thing that Bibles don't do, though. They don't shut off. My things are shut off. Okay, here we go. I am and I will grieve. And we've had a lot of hard times. Matter of fact, one of my best friends, Dad, Tim Thompson, is one of my best friends. I've been in the same life group with him for 28 years. We have four families, and his dad was an elder at Christ the Rock. And Gary passed away yesterday. I went and saw him. He died two hours later. So yes, grief is part of life. But let me tell you this. But I will rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And we have a job to do. And I'm so far from perfect, but we have a mission. And here is the new verse that God has given me. Write this verse down. And if you don't have a favorite verse, make it your verse. Acts 20:24 says this: however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. What? I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that Jesus has given me. What is the task of the church? Here it is: to testify the good news of God's grace. Will you accept that task? That's not just mine. That's yours. Matter of fact, your mission statement here, your mission statement is this: we are broken people affecting change for God's glory. So I hate to say this, but I love this statement. Because sometimes there's something called glory theology, and all we want to talk about is the victory. But you know what Jesus told us to do in communion? He said, this is my body, what? Is what? Broken. And isn't it wild? The time that the Son of God, perfect God, was broken is when the power to defeat the enemy came. And in this statement, God is calling us to admit our brokenness and our hurting, but that the power of God is bigger than our hurt. That God is bigger than our addiction. God is bigger than our problems. And he's calling us to change this world and that heaven would come to this earth. Do you want that? No, I'm sorry. Do you want that? Come on, church. Let me tell you this. I got a sport coat on today. The first time I preached here, I didn't. I got in trouble with Pastor Erickson. There was a move of God here in the 80s that was so stinking strong. And let me tell you this. I think this church future is going to be more glorious than the past. That God is, has, and is going to continue to use this church. And God is calling this church. Will you do that? And here's why. I think I had this last time I was here. But 18, Faith for the Next Generation. My goal, 2 out of 3 people who come to Christ will do so before the age of 18. And I don't usually do this, but I'm asking every single person here, to at least every family, to buy this book. Here's why. I have 11 grandkids now, and I spent way too much money on gas this summer. And I need money for my snowmobile. No, you know what? My wife and I, my wife's leading, we're not taking one penny from any of the books back there. 100% is going to go back into the public schools that can't afford to bring us in. We're going to reach this next generation for Christ. We got to do it. It's our mission. Our life means nothing. 2 out of 3 people are coming to Christ before the age of 18. I was at a leadership conference last year, and I got a call in the middle of it. And a friend of mine, he was a pastor in the Anglican church, Marcus Cunningham. Just loved Jesus. But I had to leave early because he was on hospice and he was dying of throat cancer. And his wife called and asked if I'd come and say goodbye and comfort the family. So I drove down to Ripon where he lived, and he was so frail and he couldn't talk. Most of his tongue had been cut out. He could talk, but he sounded worse than me. And I'm there to pray for him. And he looks at me in his frailness. And he says, "Can I pray for you?" And he gets out of his hospice bed. And in his frailness, walks over. In his brokenness, grabs some anointing oil. And anoints my head with oil. And starts praying the power of the Holy Spirit upon me. And he said, "Bob, there's so many that still need to hear. Will you not forsake your call? Don't run away from Nineveh. Don't keep sharing the love of Jesus." And he was a poor Anglican priest. And before he sat down, he walked over to his dresser and he grabbed his checkbook. And he wrote me a check for $1,000. And said, "Give this to the next school." I was so humbled. But the Holy Spirit breathed into me God's glory and said, "We gotta win this next generation. We gotta do whatever it takes. Will you do that with me? Will you do that with me?" Okay, then look, let's look to the word. If you're timing my message, the message starts right now. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. And if you just want to take notes, you can look them up later. 1 Chronicles 12, 22. Listen to this. From the tribe of Issachar. Say Issachar. Say it one more time. Issachar. Isn't that cool? From the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. And all these people understood the signs of the time. Say signs of the time. And they knew the best course for Israel to take. They knew the signs of the time and the best course for Israel to take. Let me say this. We can win this next generation. We can win this. Do you want to win this next generation? Yes. Right? If you're not signed up, Alliance Church in Appleton is having a Go Big conference for children's ministry. You have one of the best children's ministries still around here. I love what you guys do here, right? Go Big, November 9th, sign up. But this is what it said, right? So to know the best course for them to take, the best course, we can win this next generation by understanding the signs of the times and knowing the best course to take. Let's take a look at the signs of the time in our world today. I want to look at two signs. Let's look at the world and let's look at the church. All right? The world today. It's the what generation? The I, right? Me, but I, let's say I generation, right? iPhone, iPad, iPod, I. It's all about me. It's all about me. This is the first time ever we have become the any time, anything, anywhere generation that is connected globally to a global community. We're always connected. It's the first generation that is always on, always plugged in, always connected. Many times we're connected without being connected. Constant information, constant data, and not always with the wisdom to apply it. This changes everything. Listen to the statistic. I'm going to throw a lot of stats at you today, but I just want you to see it. 92% of this generation say that they're online daily, right? One quarter say that they are on constantly. They never turn it off. Listen to this. 91% say they take their device to bed with them. Are you kidding me? I've done that. I wake up and Siri is imprinted on my heart. Right? We're always on. We're always on this. And now I'm going to say something that's going to get some of you mad. Because you're like, Bob, I know. I'm telling this generation, get outside. The internet's the problem. Okay, look at the next slide. The problem is not the internet. Let me say it loud and clear. The problem always has been and always will be our hearts. Sin is the problem, not the internet. But you know what the internet has done? The internet has made our hearts like on steroids. And if you take the internet with our hearts, it accelerates everything. And who is the center of this universe? I am. Not God. I am. Not the great I am. The small I am. We have taken God off the throne and we've put ourselves on it. The I generation, the iPhone. Let me do one more I. Idol. Say idol. And here is what idol stands for. An idol is an image used as an object of worship or a person who is adored, loved, or admired. And who's adored and admired today? I am. It's all selfie. I is being adored. I am the core. I am the center of the universe. But the middle of sin, S-I-N, is still what? Can we agree that the problem is not the internet? That the problem is still I on the throne instead of God on the throne. And when I become the center of the universe, that's when the problems really come out. That's when everything goes ballistic. Death by overdose is up 21% last year. 64,000 people died of drug overdose last year. Just of opioids, like pain prescription, right? And heroin, 90 a day. Altogether, 175 a day. James, thank you for heading up recovery. Celebrate recovery. Give him a round of applause. Thank you for what you're doing. People are like, what are we doing? I think it's so focused. You know what? You have some of the best ministries going on here, and you're posed with these foundations. If we can strengthen the life groups, we can strengthen Celebrate Recovery and what's going on. It's time for this church. It's not about numbers, but it's time for this church to grow again because numbers are people. And Green Bay needs to be reached for the gospel again, and he wants it to do it through you. That's what he wants to do. But let me ask you this. Is drug abuse the problem? That's just a symptom. It's not the cause. It's the signs of the time. The problem is we're taking God out. Look at this. The Rise of the Nuns. That's the actual book. Did you ever fill out a questionnaire and it asked you for your religious representation? You know, are you Catholic? Are you Lutheran? Whatever it is. In the last one, it says none. In 1930, 1940, 5% would mark none, no affiliation. In 1990, 50 years later, it only went up to 8.1. In 2008, it was 15%. 2012, it was 19. In 2015, it was 23. Today in 2019, it's the number one box that is checked. We are becoming a post-Christian America. And if that's not bad enough, that's the sign of the world. What do fishermen do? What should sinners do? Or what do they do? Sin! Why are we protesting sinners? They're just doing what their nature is, right? That's what the world is. What we really need to look at is the church. Let's look at this. Let's look at the state of the church. Today, Sunday in America, right? Less than eight. You know why it's so important that you are in here? Today, America, less than 18% of students that are 18 or under in church. Less than eight. Is that okay with you on your watch? I mean, your parents here. How many of you are grand? I have 11 grandkids. That's not okay. It's time to fight on their behalf. 19.2% of our population in America say that they used to profess Christianity and now they don't. We got to win these people back. People raised as Christians, one quarter of them are no longer following Christ. 70% of our students raised in the church when they go to college are walking away. To every new conversion, like we just prayed with 125, 150 Friday night, to every one person that's saying yes to Jesus, four Christians are leaving the faith. Not in judgment, but how many know somebody that used to walk with Jesus as isn't today? Isn't that sad? What are we doing? It's time. It's time. The signs of the times. Something needs to change. And I'm going to ask you this. Would you pray for a change? Did you get that double meaning there? Not that you don't pray. But would you pray? Intercede? Would you pray for what? I mean, come on. How are you doing? Really good, but I'm so tired and busy. I heard the two. But how many find, you don't have to raise your hands here, but how many always find time to sin? Right? We have groups to go to because we can't stop sinning. So we always have time to sin, but I can't find time to pray? And getting God's word, I'm asking you to pray for a change. Because if those stats I just read you don't break your heart, then don't listen to the rest of this message. Keith Green, man, I love musicians today, but Keith Green. Remember stuff like this? Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one prays, no one aches. No one even sheds one tear. How can you be so numb not to care if they come? Jesus rose from the dead and you can't even get out of bed. Really? Before I go on, I want to do an altar call right now. If you say, Bob, I have saw the signs of the times and I want to know the best course to take. If that's you right now, and you say, Bob, I want to hear your second message because I have one more message. And you say, Bob, I'm all in. Bob, I want to know how to reach this next generation. Right now, I'm just asking, raise your hand. And pray this. Pray this after me right now. Holy Spirit, fill me. Renew my first love. Bring me to a point of repentance. Stamp eternity on my eyeballs. I see the signs of the time. I see what's going on in the world. I want to stand in the gap. And I see what's going on in the church. I want to pray for the youth by being all in myself. Holy Spirit, fill me. God, I pray right now that you would just come with tongues of fire and that you would just break our hearts once again. Lord God, fill us. Give us the lost for our inheritance. And I pray for Celebrate Recovery in the name of Jesus Christ right now, that instead of another obituary, there'd be another person coming to faith and coming for victory. And we pray right now, Lord God, for the youth. And I pray that you would give them strength to go back into their schools and make a difference. Holy Spirit, come and give us power. And now as we look to the next part, as we look to what we can do, please, you've seen the hands. You've seen their hearts. Do it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, James. You can stay up here if you want. We're going to go with what God has here today. Here's why it matters. The next part, we need to know the best course to take. It's personal, isn't it? My son, Tim, when he was in eighth grade, he's our youngest. We have five. Tim came to me when he was in eighth grade going into high school. And he said, Dad, I don't want to be a lens. That's our last name. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, you're all leaders. Two pastors, you're an evangelist. All my brothers and sisters, student council president, leaders, church. And then if you do anything wrong, then the church just judges you. Do you ever feel that? Like, this is supposed to be the safest place to be home. And sometimes it's where we get the most criticism. And please, will you stop criticizing leaders? Would you pray for them? And love them and support them? He didn't pay me to say that, but I will take money afterwards. But you know what? I can't blame my son. Because so many times, that's what people are saying. The world is more accepting and more loving. But I saw my son in high school. And he started partying. And he started wishing that he lived in Colorado. It's legal there, marijuana, in case anybody was wondering. And he made it through school. But he went to college locally, and my son did a great feat. He went for a full year of school at college and didn't get one credit. That takes effort. But he was phenomenal at games on the video. And we moved. And one of the hardest things I had to do is ask our son not to live with us anymore. And he's like, what? I'll just stay here till you move, sell the house. I'm like, no. Either you go back to school or you get a full-time job. You know how our heart is to say, founder of Life Fest, evangelist. Son is a couch surfer. You know what that means? Live at different friends' house and lived out of his car. And I wish I had an answer of how I could do something. But all I can do is cry out to God. You got kids that turned out in your mind? Don't take too much credit. You got kids that are struggling? Don't take too much blame. Just love them the best you can before the Father. There's only one perfect parent, and it was me. No, I was going to say my wife. There's only one perfect, and that was God. He had two kids, and how'd they turn out? They have choice. But it's serious. It's time. And I don't know what to do here because of time, but I'm going to give me 10 more minutes. I feel we got to go through this. Acts 20:27 is this. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. If we're going to reach this next generation, we have to give them the whole will of God. The whole counsel God approach. Say whole counsel. Here's why. We have made decisions for Christ, but we haven't made disciples. We have made decisions, and we have not made disciples. People say the prayer and they think it's done. And they're saved from hell and they think that's enough. But what are they saved for? Here's what we need to do. We need to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Will you make disciples? Jesus said, go into the world and make decisions. No. Go into the world and make. Will you join what God is doing through this local church to make disciples? And here's what we got to do then. We got to base it on this verse. Proverbs 11:1. Proverbs 11:1 says this. A false balance is an abomination, but a just weight is his delight. A false balance. You're like, what do you mean? A.W. Tozer said it like this. Remember, whole counsel of God. Full gospel approach. Right? Tozer said it this way. It takes two wings to fly every bird. You find one truth in scripture, and this truth that seems to contradict it, you put it together, you'll have theology that flies. Right? Does the Bible contradict itself? Does it seem to? Yes, it does. Can you not find verses that say you have eternal security? And verses that say you can lose? Yes. So here's what you do. Okay, I'm arguing with the pastor. Just a minute. You find the one that seemed to contradict it. It doesn't, but it seems to. You put those together, it'll fly. Luther, the great reformer, said it this way. He said, a drunkard. Truth is like a drunkard. Okay? So, because it'll fall off one side or the other. Truth is like a drunkard on a horse. They'll fall off one side or the other. It's time to find the full counsel of God. Here's why. We don't like tension. We don't like it when it looks like there's two sides. And let me go back to what I just said, from predestination or free will. All right? How about this? Tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism, communion, once saved, always saved, and we'll sit and fight with each other. And what was the word that God gave this morning? It's time to fight together. It's good when we fight together, not against each other. Guess how many different denominations there are? I looked it up. 41,000. And they all think they're right. And so do you and so do I. I'm going to say something that's going to, it's not what we hear normally. Balance is not compromise. Say it with me. Balance is not compromise. Balance is not compromise. In a pendulum, so, you know, do you ever see a pendulum where a ball falls and it swings back and forth? Guess where it has the most power and the most impact? Not when it's coming down. Right in the center. The most power. God is calling us to an in-depth discipleship that's based on balance, not compromise. And he wants both truths to come together. I can't, we did not talk about this beforehand, but what did you pray? You prayed for unity. You know why? Right? So John 17, Father, if they be one, like you and I are one, then what will happen? The whole world will know that you live. But you know what? We don't like the tension. So we'll pick one theology or the other instead of saying, I'm picking God's word. And we've been fighting with each other. And that tension should go from fighting to a tug of war to a dance. God wants harmony. God wants us to come like never before. I got to get an amen before I finish. You believe? Does this make sense? Dan Allender said this. Do you believe in absolute truth? Right? Do you believe in absolute truth? But then listen to this. Dan Allender said this. I believe in absolute truth. But if it's not a paradox, it's probably not true. Does that make sense? All right. Which side of a nickel is right? The head or the tail? Which one? Both. Okay. Is Jesus totally God? 100%? Is he totally man? 100%? You sure it's not 50-50? Okay. So it's both and, right? That doesn't make sense. That's called mystery. Mystery doesn't mean we can't understand something. Mystery means it's going to take an eternity of understanding. Because that's how big God is. You tired of doing it your way? No, let's do it. Okay, this isn't even part of the message and I don't have time, but I got to do it. Is it predestined or free will? It really is both. God predestined. And you get to choose which one's first. Let me tell you this, though. If we stop fighting with different denominations, if we can go back on the blessing where this church started, Pastor Erickson worked with everybody. And there was a blessing when that happens. So let me show you, if you're with me, two wings of fiery bird, whole counsel of God, Proverbs 11, full counsel. We got to bring it to four areas real quick. But, and this is why it's going to take time, but four areas. Science, say science. Say supernatural. Say suffering. And say social issues. Okay, real quick, I got to read. The Gideon guy went back to 1800. That's nothing. Listen to this. On June 22nd, 1633, I beat you. 1633, the church handed down the following order. We pronounce, judge, and declare that you, the said Galileo, have rendered yourself vehemently suspect to the holy office of heresy. That in you believe and held the doctrine, which is false according to the divine scripture, that the sun is the center of the world, and that it does not move from the east into the west, and that the earth does move, and it is not the center of the world, right? Remember this? Galileo, right? And so he was ordered. He was put in custody. He was made to read the Bible every day. Was Galileo right? Yes. Was the church at that time wrong? Yes. Guess how long it took for the church to admit it was wrong? Galileo agreed not to teach the heresy anymore and spent the rest of his life under house arrest. And it took the church 300 years to admit that Galileo was right and to clear his name of heresy. Science was right. Was the Bible wrong? Say it louder. But did they take the whole council approach? No. I look at it this way. That's what I think it says. No. Science verifies the Bible. But you know what that's going to take? Not just saying one simple prayer. It's going to take discipleship. Do you throw out the Bible? No. What do? You actually start studying more. One study shows that 32% of people left the faith. Number one reason leaving the faith, intellectual skepticism. But the science says this. If you don't believe me, real quick. Creationism. Right? I believe in creator. Let me ask you, and don't answer out loud or we'll get in fights. Old earth or new earth? And people have said from pulpits, if you don't believe in new earth, you're not a Christian. Real, okay. And you know what's weird? I believe in new earth. I shouldn't tell you that, but I do. But would you go and look up this guy? Hugh Ross. Right? Nobody's writing it down. Because you don't want to read a book. You don't have time. Then how are we going to win this generation if we don't look at the issues that they're leaving the church from? You say you want them in the church. You say you want them to be followers of Christ. And we're not willing to put in the time. Hugh Ross is the astrophysicist who believes in old earth. And he's a Bible teaching believer. Here's my new stance. Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. And here's what's sad. Most Christians in Sticky Faith, that book, I'm trying to find the stat. Here it is. Only 12% of moms talk to their kids about faith on a monthly period. And only 5% of dads talk to their kids about faith. So we just tell them what to believe and we don't even talk to them about it. So do we have to look at the whole counsel approach to science, yes or no? Real quickly, the supernatural. We have provided great entertainment in the church, some of the best music the church has ever had, but no foundation. After church services, this is what usually happens when you get in your car. How was the service? Why don't we rank it like a movie? How many Rotten Tomatoes are you going to give it? Ah, that one song was good, but what about the second song? I didn't know that song. I didn't really like it. And what about the preaching? He went over the time. You know, that's not allowed. Don't raise your hands, but how many of us, it's become like going to a movie and you judge how much you like the service. And never even wondering if you had an encounter with a living God. We have made a personal relationship with Jesus into a doctrine to be understood. But have you had an encounter with God lately? It's time for the supernatural to come back into the church. It's time for the Holy Spirit to be given free rein again. Because has there been misuse of the gifts? Yes. But misuse and wrong use does not give for disuse, but proper use. There's whole denominations that can teach from the Bible now why the gifts aren't for today. But you know what? If God wants them for today, I don't care what you teach. It's time for the supernatural again. It's time. I got to finish the story about my son, Tim. All my rationale, all my rules didn't work. But I did bribe him. Because he owed me money. Because if he didn't get a C better in college, you had to pay me back. So I said if he went to a short-term Bible school, I would count it as one of his years. And I would, count it as one of his schools. And so I wanted him to go to England, but no, he picked Hawaii. He picked YWAM. But he said, I'm not doing a three-month outreach. I'll do the Bible school to pay off my debt. He took a bribe. The Holy Spirit, the second day there, just came upon him and slammed him in the spirit. And he had an encounter with God like never before. And he says he gave his life to Jesus. You know what the first thing as a dad I wanted to do? No, I was there when you were 9 years old. You might have recommitted your life. And I started arguing. I wanted to argue theology of when he came to Christ instead of just rejoicing. And we're so into our theology instead of saying, God, that's my son. And then he called me. He said, Dad, can I go on the outreach? I'm like, no. It was $7,000. He was supposed to raise it for the last 3 months. He had to have the money by Friday. He said, God, he goes, Dad, if God wants me to go, he'll provide, right? I'm like, who are you? What do you do with my son, Tim? By Friday, God provided all the money and I was so mad. No, did you ever? I wanted him to be responsible. I felt like God was enabling him. Because grace doesn't look the way I would do it. And my son went to Brazil and saw miracles. And my son today just finished his 7th year as a full-time missionary. And he's here with us today, back in the back. But to be honest, I've argued with him. I said, because now he's all into what the Spirit told me. And I said, the words of prophecy and, oh, God told somebody in their group they're going to go down to the bus station. They just worked with Muslims over in Germany for 2 years. And God saw, they saw a vision of a girl in this gray sweatshirt and had a picture and look for her. And God's going to, I'm like, come on. I said, Tim, why don't you just teach the scripture? He said, Dad, did you ever have a, try to talk a Muslim out of their faith? He said, if they have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, they can't argue. They're having dreams and God's winning them. I hate it when the kids lead their parents. It's time to let the Holy Spirit reign again. It's time. I don't want to just remember back in the 80s when I had an encounter with Jesus. I want my car to be healed again. I don't care if they call me a lunatic. I was in Dollar Tree, my favorite store in the whole world, because I'm Dutch. And a girl at the counter, I said, did you ever hear of Life Fest? She said, yeah. I said, my office runs it. I'll give you some tickets. She said, no, thank you. I said, why not? She said, I tried the Christianity thing. I have a lot more power as a Wiccan. She believes in the spiritual realm, but she can't stand dead religion. We need to study so we can show the full counsel of God in science. And we need to go on our knees at the altar and ask the Holy Spirit to move again. Amen? Amen. But then you got to finish with me. Your last one is this. We got to show the full counsel of God in science, in the supernatural, but then in suffering. You're like, what? We've not taught the whole counsel of God in the area of suffering. Because I prayed for Marcus. And I asked God, he had 5 kids. He still has a daughter in middle school. And so I asked God to heal him. And Tim is seeing miracles. I'm seeing miracles. And so I asked God to heal him. But I just went to his funeral. We have to preach about a healing God and we want to see signs and wonders again. But then we have to understand how to teach about suffering when it doesn't happen on the side. And I think a cool way to do it would be to have a church within inside of a church and would call it Able Church. How's that sound? And we'll have a camp called Camp Daniel. We'll get off to go and work at it. Thank you. I'm taking them all. I'll send you a tax deduction. And we'll go be a part of a camp that celebrates people. You know what? Let's pray for healings like never before. And then let's teach about the dark night of the soul when God doesn't heal. You're like, but Bob, where does it say it in the Bible? John the Baptist. Did you ever have this kind of thing happen? He baptizes Jesus. The skies open up. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Audible voice. Go to the end of his life. He's in prison. And he goes to his disciples and says, can you go ask Jesus if he's really the Messiah? What? Isn't this the guy who heard the voice of God? Can anybody be honest that you still have doubts? And so he said, okay. So the disciples run. And they come back and he said, Jesus, are you the one? And Jesus says, well, tell him this. Tell him the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. Tell him about all these miracles. So he goes back and he says, John, he's the one. Jesus is God. He's the Messiah. There's a bunch of miracles. And John goes, I knew it was him in the name of Jesus. And he pulled and the bars bent and he walked out. And John was a free man. Hallelujah. Is that what happened? He got his head cut off. Hallelujah. I want a faith that believes for the supernatural. And I want a faith that is so strong that if I die because of it, I still worship God. That's what it is. That's what we need. And if you don't think I challenged you enough, one more. Science, do your homework. Supernatural, let the Holy Spirit reign. Suffering, trust God even on the valleys, what we sang today. Yeah, we didn't set those up. You picked those songs. We'll worship them from the valleys. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by him. But the last one, social issues. This I generation, the millennials, Generation Z, they get slammed so much. I apologize. Can I say one thing about them? This I generation, like never before, they say this, I want to make a difference. And they have loved like no other generation. They have accepted differences like no other generation. And they can actually say this, we hold this truth to be self-evident, that all people are created equal. They're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Justice means a lot to this generation. So if you look at the area of immigration, and you go too far right or too far left and don't care about people, they'll call you on the carpet. If you talk about the issues of sexuality with this generation, I had a born-again Christian, spirit-filled Christian say to me this. Do you remember the good old days? That if a kid said he was gay on the playground, that you just beat him up? And that was the end of it? Is that where we want to go back to? We're right and they're wrong? And you wonder why the pendulum has swung. And in 2015, the Supreme Court okayed same-sex marriages. And today, 73% of people under the age of 25 see nothing wrong with same-sex marriage. Okay, whole counsel of God. I was just wanting to pick up my Bible. The whole counsel of God. How do you do with this? How do you do with the LGBTQ community? Can I propose how? Here's how you do it. You have a radical, welcoming inclusion. I will say, because I know what kind of church this is, if anybody here is questioning their sexual identity and you see yourself as part of the LGBTQ community, You are welcomed at this church. You are welcomed at this church. Some of you aren't clapping. Let me say something to those who aren't clapping. And I also promise you that this church will hold on to that the Bible is the infallible word of God. And that we don't have to compromise our views on sexuality. And that God created marriage. How do you do both? Is Jesus God? Is he man? How do you understand that? I don't know. Can we welcome and still hold on to what we believe is sin? Yes. Is it being done in many churches today? No. Can we do it here? Yes. Celebrate recovery. Able church. Broken people. Because while we are weak, he is. God is asking you to be radical in the hot middle. Balance is not. God is calling us to win this next generation. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to play surrounded. And I'm going to ask you, if you today say, Bob, I already said I wanted to know the best route. But I want to be touched and filled with the Holy Spirit. We're already 15 minutes late. But the Packers aren't playing today. And so I'm going to ask you, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to do the whole counsel of God. I'm going to ask Sally and Pastor Mike to be up here and maybe some of the elders. Let's pray. But if you know God has talked to you and you want to see greater things happen in Green Bay and in this church, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. And let's come to the altar and be surrounded by God today. Just come.